RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. President Joko Widodo grants 1,500 smart Indonesian cards in Tasikmalaya. MPR Chairman Zulkifli Hasan, mutual trust is the asset to realize the nation's ideals. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo visited Tasikmalaya, West Java on Friday. In his visit, he granted 1,500 Smart Indonesian Cards, or KIP, to the local orphans in two state junior high schools in Tasikmalaya. The president gave symbolically to 10 representatives of the students receiving the Smart Indonesian Cards. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said the amount of the Smart Indonesian Cards, or KIP, received by students of elementary school is worth around 450,000 rupiah, junior high school students 750,000 rupiah, and senior vocational high school students 1 million rupiah. The president also said that the KIP given should only be used for school assistance such as books, uniforms, and learning staffs. The chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, said that mutual trust is very important in realizing the ideals of a nation. It is a requirement for Indonesia to move forward. This was stated by Zulkifli Hasan in the nationhood speech at the Al-Azhar Islamic University in South Jakarta, as reported by People's Consultative Assembly press release on Friday. He views that he realized the mutual trust is to emphasize the importance of justice to everyone without exception. The law must fulfill the sense of people's justice, so there is no mutual suspicion. However, the justice can be felt. Zulkifli Hasan added that other condition to be a developed nation is to master science and technology. In addition, Zulkifli also emphasizes the importance of applying the values that exist in Indonesia's Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, the Unitary State of the Republic of Indonesia, and Unity in Diversity, or Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political Law and Security Affairs Wiranto said that ISIS fails to establish a dominant power in Poso Central Sulawesi. ISIS planned to set up Poso as one of their bases in Southeast Asia other than Marawi in the Philippines. Minister Wiranto also stated that the authorities succeeded in hunting down and eradicating the seeds of ISIS in Poso. He added that even if there are some left behind, it's only a small number. Minister Wiranto also pointed out that ISIS moved to Marawi after they failed to establish themselves in Poso. But in Marawi, they were greeted by the Philippine military, which sparked a battle that caused 200 people displaced and almost killed around 100 people. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani has assured that extra funds needed to organized Asian Games 2018 will come from the budget sections of the General State Treasurer, or BABUN, in the 2017 state budget. She stated at the Parliament Building in Jakarta on Thursday that her ministry has agreed that part of the funds will be taken from the BABUN, and the fund will later be allocated to the Indonesian Organizing Committee for Asian Games, INASGIG. She hopes that part of the fund, amounting to 1.8 trillion rupiah, could be dispersed soon to pay contractors as commitment fees. She also noted that her ministry assures that 500 billion rupiah of the fund could be dispersed soon to meet all the existing needs, and the remaining 1.1 trillion rupiah could be dispersed before the end of this year. Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said in Jakarta on Tuesday that toll road operators would provide discounts to drivers who use electronic or cashless payment during the mass exodus for the upcoming Idul Fitri holiday. He also stated that the toll road operator associations wants to give public service in terms of a reduction of fares. Publicly listed toll road operator Jasa Marga, one of the committed operators, plans to cut its toll fees by 20% from June 22nd to June 26th and June 30th to July 2nd. And this will apply in 15 sections it operates, including Jakarta, Tangerang, Banten and Purwakarta, Bandung, Cileunyi, West Java. Other toll road operators such as Lintas Marga Sedaya or LMS, Marga Mandala Sakti or MMS, and Marga Harjaya Infrastructure MAHI will provide a 10% discount over the same period for various toll road sections, including Cikopo Palimanan, West Java, Tangerang Merak Banten, and Kertosono Mojokerto, East Java. The discontinuations of diplomatic ties between some Arab countries and Qatar impacts Qatar Airways airline carrier transporting Umroh pilgrims to Saudi Arabia. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi confirmed that the government of Indonesia would help the Umroh pilgrims from Indonesia to transfer the airline. Minister Retno said that after discontinuations of relations between some Arab countries and Qatar on June 5th, she had directly communicated with various parties, including Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi and Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, on the solutions for the Indonesian Umroh pilgrims who are still in Saudi Arabia. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has also communicated with some foreign ministers of friendly countries, especially foreign ministers located in the Exclusive Economic Zone or ZEE in the Gulf region.
Jadi pertama kemarin memang saya dari Abuja ke Lagos, kemudian Lagos ke Jakarta, saya memang memakai Qatar Airways.
I flew from Abuja to Lagos, then Lagos to Jakarta with Qatar, by Qatar Airways. I of course stopped over in Doha. I used this transit to meet our ambassador in Doha. What we are talking about is of course the latest development of the situation in Doha, and I also wanted to make sure that all citizens living in Qatar are in good condition. The embassy has also formed a special task force for the protection of Indonesian citizens. So from the side of protection of Indonesian living in Qatar, God willing, nothing will happen. Second, with the adjustment that must be done by Qatar Airways, is this also pass the Umrah pilgrims from Indonesia, and this we have also managed. Alhamdulillah, so far significant problem has not emerged.
Kepada jamaah Umrah Indonesia, dan ini juga sudah kita kelola. Alhamdulillah, sejauh ini belum muncul masalah yang signifikan.
Previously, the Director General of Civil Aviation of the Ministry of Transportation saw the solution by diverting flights to other airlines that could transport the pilgrims smoothly and comfortably. Due to the discontinuations of diplomatic ties, Qatar Airways is not allowed to enter Saudi Arabia, Mecca City, and Medina as pilgrimage destination for Muslims around the world. The policy is to move the Qatar Airways pilgrim passengers to other airlines that have routes to Saudi Arabia, especially Riyadh and Medina. The last item, Indonesian government encourages peace and stability establishments in the Middle East amidst current situation. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, after her meeting with President Joko Widodo in the Presidential Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday, said she has contacted her counterparts in the Middle East to show Indonesia's concern related to the situations. In her talk, Minister Retno remarked that Indonesia encourages dialogue and reconciliations among the disputing countries. In addition, Indonesia has also emphasized the importance of unity among Middle East countries, especially in Ramadan momentum. Minister Retno also said that Indonesian government expressed its readiness to provide assistance to resolve the occurring conflict.
Intinya adalah bahwa Indonesia menyampaikan concernnya, mengamati dan menyampaikan concernnya terhadap perkembangan yang saat ini terjadi.
The point is that Indonesia stated its observation and concern related to the current situation. Secondly, we ask all parties to refrain from prioritizing dialogue and reconciliation. Third, we ask all parties to also prioritize ukhuwah Islamiyah unity, especially in Ramadan momentum. Fourth, we never forget to mention that Indonesia is ready to help when needed.
Dan yang keempat, yang tidak lupa, selalu tidak lupa kita sampaikan adalah bahwa kita Indonesia siap untuk membantu apabila memang diperlukan.
Meanwhile, in regard to Indonesian citizen security in Qatar, Minister Retno Marsudi stated that the Indonesian representatives in Doha have formed special task force to increase protection towards more than 29,000 Indonesian citizens in Qatar. In addition to the flight adjustment that has affected to the umrah of some Indonesian people, Minister Retno said that the government has cooperated with several parties to assure the safety and security of those Indonesian people. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Listener commentary to the entitled Iran Shock by Terror Attacks. Two terror attacks hit the capital of Iran, Tehran, on Wednesday. One attack was aimed at the Parliament building and another suicide bomber attack on the town of Ayatollah Khomeini. The consequences of the attack killed at least 12 people. Deputy Chairman of Iran's Supreme Council of Security, Reza Saifullahi, said that the attackers were Iranians who joined the ISIS group. The ISIS terror group claimed the attack and threatened further attacks on cities in Iran. In his message through social media, President of the United States Donald Trump expressed his sympathy, but President Trump added to his sympathy by mentioning the tragedy of Tehran as the fruit of his own deeds. The second message provoked Iran's strong reaction to the United States. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif on Tuesday mentioned that the Trump's remark on the attack in Tehran is very painful. Minister Javad also said that Iran faces attacks from American client groups. The Trump's hostility towards Iran has emerged since the campaign. Trump's target is to cancel 2015 agreement that gives Iran the chance to use nuclear and prevent the development of nuclear weapons in exchange for lifting of sanctions. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards accused Saudi Arabia and the United States being involved in the attack. Their indication was that the incident occurred after President Donald Trump met with Islamic leaders in Saudi Arabia. Both countries directly denied this allegation. These days, there seems to be no place on earth that is safe from terror attacks. We can no longer simply call for unity against terrorism. It is time for all of us, the world communities, to jointly take a very firm action against groups that no longer care about humanity for the purpose of one group only. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event on June the 9th, 1946. Bhumibol Adulyadej became the king of Thailand as Rama the 9th. His Excellency King Bhumibol Adulyadej, or King Rama the 9th, became the king of Thailand since June the 9th, 1946, when he was 19 years old. He was a member of Chakri dynasty who studied at Mother Day School in Bangkok. The son of Prince Mahidol Adulyadej continued his studies to Lhasa when most of his family moved to Switzerland. He became illustrious due to his position as head of state. King Bhumibol reigned along with the second king until 1950 and ascended the throne as King Rama the IX. His leadership was loved by his people because of his personal touches. He always spared time to give the diploma during the graduation of the state universities in Thailand. Later, that duty was taken over by his children. The king, who loved photography, writing, and translating, was known as a sailing athlete who achieved a gold medal in SEA Games in Manila, the Philippines in 1967. We continue into June the 9th, 1967. The Six-Day War, Israel captured Golan Heights from Syria. The Six-Day War, also known as Arab-Israeli War in 1967, was a war between Israel against three United Arab Republic countries, namely Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, which gained active support from Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Algeria. The war took place for 132 hours and 30 minutes, or less than 6 days. while only in the Syrian front, the war was for 6 days. On June 5, 1967, Israel launched an attack against the Egyptian air base to prevent invasion from Egypt. Jordan later attacked the West Jerusalem and Netanya. Finally, on June 9, 1967, Israel captured the Golan Heights and Syria. The result of the war affects the geopolitical situation in the Middle East until today. Listener, we end today in history with June the 9th, 1992. The fifth general election of Indonesia took place in the new order. The 1992 general election by House of Representatives or DPR and Regional Legislative Council or DPRD was held simultaneously on June 9, 1992, to elect the new members of DPR and DPRD, either the level 1 or the 2 of DPRD across Indonesia, for the period of 1992 until 1997. The general election was participated by two political parties and one functional group or Golkar, namely 1. United Development Party or PPP, 2. Functional Group or Golkar, 3. Indonesian Democratic Party or PDI. The election resulted in the Golkar winning the majority vote. Listener, that was the day in history.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition is entitled Government Launches UKP-PIP. Listener, President Joko Widodo inaugurated 9 national figures as the advisors for the Presidential Working Unit on the implementation of Pancasila or UKP-PIP at the State Palace in Jakarta on last Wednesday, June the 7th. The 9 figures inaugurated based on the presidential decree on May 31, 2017, number 31M2017, were Megawati Soekarno Putri, Tri Sutrisno, M. Mahfud MD, Ahmad Syafi'i Ma'arif, Ma'ruf Amin, Said Akil Siroj, Andreas Ananguru Yewanggohe, Wisnu Bawatenaya, and Sudamek. Parallel with the 9 advisors, President Joko Widodo also inaugurated Yudi Latif as the chief of the UKP-PIP. The Presidential Working Unit on the Implementation of Pancasila or UKP-PIP has a duty to help the President in formulating the general policy of implementation of Pancasila ideology and carrying out the coordination, synchronization and control on the implementation thoroughly and simultaneously. UKP-PIP also functions to monitor, evaluate and suggest strategic steps as well as to smoothen the development of Pancasila and to carry out inter-institutional cooperation and relation in the development. The chief of UKP-PIP, Yudi Latif, after the inauguration said, the current education of Pancasila through curriculum at schools must be strengthened by involving communities. He views that this is in line with the spirit of mutual cooperation encouraged by Pancasila, which states all national elements are responsible to strengthen the values of Pancasila among the people.
Jalan terbaik adalah melibatkan peran serta komunitas. Kembali ke semangat Pancasila itu gotong royong. Jadi ke depan,
the best way is to involve communities into spirit of Pancasila through mutual cooperation. Later, the national institutions are just facilitators, while the real implementation is carried out by volunteers from various communities. I call it community shepherd. So clergy, humanists, filmmakers, journalists, and customary chiefs will be in one connectivity to be responsible in preserving Pancasila together. Like Bung Karno said, Pancasila began from community. Therefore, if there is any problem, the country should ask for help from the communities. Furthermore, Yudi Latif also encourages the involvement of business world in Indonesia to strengthen the Pancasila among the people. They will bridge the people and therefore suppress the discrepancy. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto is optimistic that the Presidential Working Unit on the implementation of Pancasila can work well and effectively because it consists of competent competent figures with experiences in developing and preserving the Pancasila ideology. Listener, that was Focus Today.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief. President Joko Widodo visited Tasikmalaya, West Java on Friday. In his visit, he granted 1,500 Smart Indonesian Card KIP to the local orphans in two state junior high schools in Tasikmalaya. The chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, said that mutual trust is very important in realizing the ideals of a nation. It is a requirement for Indonesia to move forward. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political Law and Security Affairs Wiranto said that ISIS fails to establish a dominant power in Poso Central Sulawesi. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani has assured that extra funds needed to organize Asian Games 2018 will come from the budget sections of the General State Treasurer or Babun in the 2017 state budget. Indonesia Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said in Jakarta on Tuesday that toll road operators would provide discounts to drivers who use electronic or cashless payment during the mass exodus for the upcoming Idul Fitri holiday. The discontinuations of diplomatic ties between some Arab countries and Qatar impacts Qatar Airways airline carrier transporting Umrah pilgrims to Saudi Arabia. The last item, Indonesian government encourages peace and stability establishment in the Middle East amidst current situation. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will invite you to culinary tour to East Java. So stay tuned with us on RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to us via www.voi.co.id. Listener, satay is one of the culinaries that is quite popular in Indonesia. This one culinary can easily be found in various regions with their own peculiarities. Satay is made from small pieces of meat stabbed with prick sticks from coconut bone or bamboo bone and then baked on charcoal, wood coals, or barons of coconuts. This culinary is served with a variety of spices depending on the variety of spices. Usually, it is served with peanut sauce. Meat used as the main raw material of satay is usually chicken, lamb, beef, and rabbit. In addition to these types of meat, uniquely, there are other types of meat that used to make satay. One of them is snail meat. Listener, snail satay or slug satay is one of the culinaries that you must taste when visiting the city of Kediri, East Java. This delicious food also includes being one of the favorite menus for breaking the fast. Snail meat has high protein content. Local people believe snail meat can increase stamina after a full day of fasting. Snail satay is served with peanut sauce. When being eaten, it tastes so delicious and tasty. Besides, the texture of snail meat is chewy and very tender when it is bitten. Listener, during Ramadan, snail satay is often hunted by Kediri residents to be a breaking menu. It's not difficult to find this culinary in the town of Kediri, East Java, especially in Dusun Jengkol, village Plosokidul, district Plosoklaten. The village is a snail culinary center. With a row of food stalls and souvenir centers made from raw slug meats, alias snail is lined along the highway. The food stalls receive snail meat supply from Pasuruan and Malang Regency. Listener, snail satay prices are relatively cheap. One serving of 20 snail satay is worth 8,000 rupiah. If you do not want to eat at the place and want to take the culinary away, there are 50 snail skewer available that has been wrapped in banana leaves for 20,000 rupiah. In the food stalls, besides satay, Snail kresengan is also available for 8,000 rupiah that can be wrapped and taken away. Kresengan is a dish made from snail meat pieces spiced with onion, stir-fry, garlic, coriander, and nutmeg, and additional sweet soy sauce. For other types of food, there are snail chips that you can taste. If taken away, snail satay and kresengan can last for 24 hours. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic snail satay. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with Minuka in Miscellany. Listener, the anniversary of Jakarta cannot be separated from the Jakarta Fair. In every implementation of Jakarta Fair event, there are always some differences. So in 2017, the implementation of Jakarta Fair is turning 50 years. What are the differences of activities that they have? Today's Miscellany will inform you. Well, listener, the grand event of Jakarta Fair Kemayoran has been open since Thursday, June 8, 2017. This activity will last for 39 days and will be closed on July 16, 2017. The theme this time is Jakarta Fair 2017, Generating Awareness, Extending Employment for Many People, with sub-theme Come Work Hard for the Progress of Nation and Country Toward the End of Gap, People Peacefully Prosperous. With this theme, it is expected that the trade promotion and industrial innovation that always color the largest exhibitions and entertainment organization in Southeast Asia can create more jobs for Indonesian people. In addition to the availability of employment, it is also expected to trigger an increase in the value of national economy. And finally, it can contribute to boost the welfare of all Indonesian people. Unlike the event of the previous year, this year's event will be more vibrant. In addition to the entertainment stage for the public and children, there are also mobile applications for Jakarta Fair. This application can be downloaded free of charge in Play Store for Android users. With this application, visitors can easily visit any desired pavilions. Because the Jakarta Fair mobile application provides mapping information and zone exhibitions area. Listener, looking back on the history of the Jakarta Fair in 1968, it turns out that this annual event changes its name and place of operation. This event was inspired from the Youth Night Market during the Dutch occupation as a tribute to the coronation of Queen Wilhelmina in the Netherlands in 1898. Thus, the Dutch East Indies government held a party of the Night Market. The Night Market was held in Koningsplein,
which is now known as the National Monument Square or also known as Gambir Field. The Gambir Night Market was for the first time held on August 13, 1898 and disbanded when the Japanese army landed on Jaffa Island in 1942. The holding of the Jakarta Fair was first held in the Monas region on June 5th to 20th July 1968 and was opened directly by President Suharto by releasing the post dove at that time. Jakarta Fair was once called DF, which stands for Jakarta Fair Old Spelling. Gradually, the spelling was changed to Jakarta Fair, which later became more popular with the title Pekan Raya Jakarta. Since 1992, Jakarta Fair has appeared more modern and its location was moved to G-Expo Kemayoran, North Jakarta. Since then, Jakarta Fair has changed to Jakarta Fair Kemayoran. Well, listener, that was Miss Lenny for today with the topic of the splendor of 50-year Jakarta Fair. We will meet again in another edition of Miss Lenny. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Dee, in the regular program Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Listener, music rhythms often affects the mood of the audience, although sometimes the mood of the music lovers are not like the song they heard. Cheerful music rhythm like dangdut music is very easy to affect mood. Although when they listen to the music with confusion feeling, sometimes the beat of a happy song rhythm makes them happy too. The uniqueness of dangdut songs often makes the listener sway to the rhythm of the song. Dangdut music is very close to Indonesian people. A few pop singers come to sing dangdut songs such as Talita Latif. After releasing pop singles in 2009, she tried her ability to sing dangdut song. Through the song Klepek Klepek, she was welcomed by dangdut music lovers. Listener, I will play the song Klepek Klepek from Talita Latif.
Cintaku klepek klepek sama kamu. Cintaku klepek klepek sama dia. Sayangku klepek klepek sama dia. Sayangku klepek klepek sama dia. Beginilah kalau sedang jatuh cinta mata ngantuk jadi melotot. Beginilah kalau lagi jatuh cinta teleponan
Listener, you've just heard the song Klepek Klepek from Talita Latif. Before trying to sing another dangdut song, Talita Latif has run several professions as models and stars of soap operas. Since her appearance in 2003, she has starred in several product advertisements. Then she started some soap operas. In 2009, this 1988-born woman also launched pop songs. One of the pop songs she launched was Au Awas. Listener, let's listen to Talita Latif with Au Awas.
Ada yang lain saat ini dan nanti, semua berubah, semua berubah. Hati yang dulu ku lalui tanpamu, kini tak mungkin, semua tak mungkin.
Meskipun beda arah waktu tujuh,
for listening to Music Corner, which this time played some songs from Talita Latif. The music world is now not separated from the life of Talita Latif, especially after she was married to one member of the band. Listeners, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the song Dikilikitik Cinta from Talita Latif. Thank you for your attention and sampai jumpa.
Thank you. cinta. Hidupku kan terasa indahnya. Jantungku pun detak terser. Tiap ketemu kamu jadi gemeter. Kamu yang tersayang, aku terpesona. Aduh, hai melayang, dikilik-dikitik cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.